Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man, the Muffin Man. Do you know the Muffin Man who lives on Drury Lane? Oh, yes, I know the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man. Yes, I know the Muffin Man who lives on Drury Lane. The interrogation scene between Lord Farquaad and Gingy and Shrek might make you feel a little differently about how Gingy's life has been going so far in Duloc if you've seen Gustave Doré's Orange Court Drury Lane print from 1872. While a Muffin Man is likely to have traveled throughout the city selling his wares, the fact that Gingy knows where the Muffin Man lives, and spoiler alert, much later it is revealed that the Muffin Man is Gingy's creator, it could mean that Gingy lives or has lived nearby. In the realm of reality in 1870s London, England, Drury Lane was a place of destitute poverty. Of Orange Court on Drury Lane, the artist said, "On our way to the city on the tide of labor, we light upon places in which the day is never aired, only the high points of which the sun ever hits. Rents spread with rags, swarming with the children of mothers forever greasing the walls with their shoulders, where there is an angry hopelessness and carelessness painted on the face of every man and woman, and the oaths are loud and the crime is continuous, and the few who do work with something like system are the ne'er-do-wells of the great army. As the sun rises, the court swarms at once, for here there is no ablutions to perform, no toilets to make, neither brush nor comb delays the outpouring of babes and sucklings from the cellars and garrets. And yet in the midst of such a scene as this, we cannot miss touches of human goodness, and of honorable instinct, making a tooth-and-nail fight against adverse circumstances." Some country wenches, who have been east into London, Irish girls mostly, hasten out of the horrors of the common lodging-house to market, where they buy their flowers for the day's huckstering in the city. They are to be seen selling roses and camellias along the curb by the bank to dapper clerks. Victorian England was a nation of extremes. Extreme poverty and extreme wealth. Extreme ugliness and extreme beauty. The reign of Queen Victoria was long, and in many ways her reign was a time of stability for the nation. The ideas that swept artists up in fevered outpouring of art production were not always the things that the general public felt inclined to embrace as readily. While ideas of realism and heroism of the everyday citizen were interesting, the British soul longed for storytelling and narrative. Social change was a nice idea, but what about the soul-crushing stories that were available to be bought and sold as entertainment? The ability to create social change with art was probably a good idea, but what about sweet paintings of mothers and children? Victorian art, and perhaps its culture as a whole, had a bit of an issue, vacillating from moralizing calls to better living to sweeping escapist fantasy. In the 21st century, mainstream Victorian art is frequently skipped over in art history, except to talk about its one band of bad boy artists who buck the establishment, and a few select academic artists. To the contemporary tastes of today, Victorian mainstream art was too sweet and syrupy to be palatable. It's somewhat ironic that the most famous Victorian artists in the 21st century are the artists who were not deeply sought after during their time.